Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast right here from the Island Ford Baptist Church located at 1415 Island Ford Road. We're glad to be able to come to your place of listening over the WSOF and WAJJ listening area, and we appreciate you tuning in. Some of you may be tuning in to our website at wsof.org, and I'd like to remind you that we do have podcasts available there at our website and on our program. We'd be glad to have you tuned in and listening in. You can listen to those at your convenience, and maybe you've missed a program, would like to hear one again. That gives you the opportunity to listen in, and we're grateful for that. We are glad to be able to come back to you today on this Thursday, July the 23rd edition of the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Appreciate the Lord giving us a good service in the house of God last night. We enjoyed the presence of the Lord and the worship together with the saints of God here at the Island Ford Baptist Church on our service last night, and just had a good spirit, good presence of the Lord. And we're grateful and thankful for that. Appreciate those that were with us. We had some that were out, some that had problems and were not able to be with us, sicknesses and such as that. And then others that we don't know for sure exactly why, but we miss them in the house of God. And we're praying for them. I'd like for you to pray with us along the lines, to pray that God might help them meet the different needs that might be there. We had several that had been out that were with us, and we're glad they were able to be with us. Mrs. Hall was feeling a good bit better and was able to be here, actually playing the organ last night, and that was a blessing. And then a blessing to see Brother Chad and the kids with us again last night as well. And we thank the Lord for that. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'd like for you, if you will, pray for us about the program today, that God would bless the program and the broadcast and just have His way. And then, of course, I've been mentioning about our daughter that's carrying a child, and we're praying that God would help that child to turn. It's in breech condition right now, and she had problems earlier with her first child, with Aria. Aria was breech as well. They had to go in and take her, and then she had some difficulties because of that. We're praying this not be the case. If it be God's will that He allow this child to turn, and there's only a window of time when that child can turn, and if not, they're going to have to go in and take it. And so if you would help us pray concerning that. She's due in August, and I don't remember now exactly the date in August, somewhere around the 26th. We've got meetings scheduled that week here, and if it be God's will that they'd have to take the child, then if they could set it up at a time when we could be present, be a real blessing to my wife and I, hopefully be a blessing to Hannah and Drew and Aria and little Laura as she's born into the world. But if you would help us pray concerning our daughter Hannah as she carries this child. Then also pray for my wife's shoulder. She's been having a little bit more difficulty in the last few days with that shoulder, and has re-injured it some way, maybe overuse, but pray that God would bless and help her with that, if it be His will to touch. And then, of course, keep praying for Mrs. Hall, that the Lord strengthen her daily with those heart problems that she has, the AFib, the problems, that God give her strength and help her. And then also Brother Hall, God bless him and use him. Now, we will be here on this Lord's Day. I will be preaching at the Island Ford Baptist Church. We're going to have regular AM service, and then we're going to have a meal after that service, a pitch-in meal here at the church, and then no PM services this coming Lord's Day. And so if you regularly tune in and listen, this will let you know that there will be no PM services on this Lord's Day. And then my wife and I will be leaving, going out to Virginia, Fishersville, Virginia. I'll be in a camp meeting there, and looking forward to being there in those services Monday through Thursday. And I talked to the pastor yesterday. He told me to be prepared to preach at least three times in this meeting. And so if you would pray for us in that, that God would use us. We're excited about being used of the Lord, but also that God would protect us and allow us to be a blessing and be a help to somebody, that He'd protect us on our trip, traveling in and traveling back. And Brother Hall will be preaching on Wednesday in my absence. So if you can be in prayer for that, pray that God bless and use Brother Hall, strengthen him and help him. And Brother Doug Bale is going to be out on Wednesday. He's going to be preaching over in Owensboro on Wednesday and Sunday as well. And so be in prayer for him as he preaches out. Pray for me as I preach out. Pray for Brother Hall while he's here manning the ship. Amen. Pray that God would protect and bless and use that. And God would use Brother Hall in a special, powerful way. We're praying for revival. We're needing revival here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. I think probably everywhere you turn, people's needing revival. I'm talking about needing a stir of God. Our nation definitely needs a stirring of God. Amen. I noticed yesterday when I was with Brother Hall there at the Veterans, the VA hospital, Brother Hall had to go for some eye checkups, eye exams and things there. As we were leaving there, they've got a big message board that everybody pretty much comes and goes in that place, looks at that, it gives them information. And they've got a big sign up now on that message board. One of the signs, it says, "Do ask, do tell." And it says, "Please notify your care provider that you are LGBT. That means lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transsexual. And so what they're doing now is they are advertising for the sodomite culture. And I know the world calls it homosexual culture. That's a new word been invented in the last 100 years or so, 120 years at the least, or at the most that it's been invented. But before that, they were always called sodomites. That's the Bible term. And, of course, that's because the sin is the sin of sodomy, this sin of perversion. And now they're promoting it. I recognize that our government has promoted it. Our Supreme Court now has approved of it. But until just a few years ago, those things were even against the law. And I'm not against sodomites. I am against sodomite behavior because it's sinful behavior. But I'm not against those people that are caught up in that sin, other than to say that they need to get right with the Lord. And if they get saved, they'd get out of that. I'm just like adulterers. I know adultery is wrong. People committing adultery is wrong. I preach against that. And I know people that commit that sin, they just need to get right with the Lord. Amen. And I could go on and on. Fornication is wrong. Those are sexual sins that are prevalent in our society. And we got to stand against them, not picking and choosing what we stand against, saying it's all wrong. All sexual contact and conduct outside the bonds of holy matrimony is wicked and ungodly in the sight of God. And even though our government has said now they're going to sanction that marriage, God's never said that he would sanction it. God's never said that it'd be all right. And so it's not all right. But our government now has decided they're going to go along with it and they're going to promote it even. And because of that, that's pretty much evidence that our government needs God. Our nation needs God. And we need revival in our nation. So I'd ask you to pray with us about that, that God would revive his work in these last days in which we live. I didn't mean to go into all that, but that's a need. That's a prayer request. And then, of course, we're praying. We're looking forward to missions conference coming up in about a month here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. That's a big meeting for us. People be coming in. It's like a camp meeting atmosphere. And we're trying to prepare for that and plan for that. So we're praying for it. And I'd like for you to pray with us along those same lines. And then we've got some loved ones that we're praying for that are making wrong decisions. Think about the family there in North Carolina that the young lady ran off from home and run off with another woman's husband, a man who is twice her age. And she runs off with him and thinking that that's going to be all right. And she's a good Christian, quote unquote. He's a good Christian, quote unquote. The truth is they're living in sin. They're living in sin. I'm not angry at them. I'm angry at the devil for his wickedness and how he tempts people and causes people to get in these sins. I am angry that people give in so easily to the sins of this world. But then here's what really angers me, and I think it angers God, is that then they'll whitewash over it with a brush that says, but it's all right. Listen, it's not all right. It's still wrong in the sight of God. And it's still destructive to little boys and girls that grow up in those homes. Amen. It's still destructive to people that look at it and see and then say it's all right. It's not all right, friends. It's not all right. We need to pray and ask God to please send revival and stir in these hearts. These people making wrong decisions because of selfishness. All sin is because of selfishness. That's right. All sin is because of selfishness. And we want to pray that God would help these folks in these needs. So if you would pray with us about that, and I didn't mean, again, to get off, but it grieves my heart to think about the decisions people are making, and they don't even care that it's going to destroy their little boy. They don't even care that it's going to destroy that little girl. They don't even care that it's going to wreck this next generation, or at least hijack their plane and send it into destruction. They don't even seem to care. God help us. God help us. We ought to care. We ought to lift up our voice. And we ought to pray that God put a stop to some of this foolishness and selfishness that's so rampant in our homes and even in churches across America. God help us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do pray, dear God, for your mercy. I thank you for mercy. I thank you, Lord, that I was raised in a godly atmosphere, that I was raised in a home where mama stayed with daddy. Daddy stayed with mama. They stayed with God. They walked with God. Not a perfect home, but in an intact home. And I want to thank you, Lord, for that. And I want to thank you, Lord, you've allowed me and my wife through these years to be able to stay together and to have a wonderful marriage, to be able to raise children for the glory of God. And they're not perfect children, and they make decisions sometimes that I don't necessarily approve of and agree with. And yet they're serving the Lord today, and they're walking with God today in their capacity and in that life that they're living. They are. I thank you, Lord, for that. And I'm not putting us up as some example, but I want to thank you, Lord, for your help in our home. And Lord, I pray for these little boys and girls that don't have that. Lord, I pray for them that mama is more interested in pleasing mama than in pleasing Jesus. More interested in what mama can get out of it than she's interested in what God wants. And the help and the health and the life of that little child that's under her care. Daddy's more interested in pleasing his own flesh than in pleasing the Lord. And in pleasing the child getting the help and the strength that that child needs. Lord, I pray for these homes that are broken. It breaks my heart to think about them. And I pray, dear God, that you would turn us again, turn our nation, turn our churches, turn our families, dear God, back to thee. Lord, I pray that you'd see fit to send revival. Father, I ask you that you might help this broadcast. Now, touch my wife, touch my daughter, touch Mrs. Hall, touch Brother Hall, these health needs that they have. Lord, I pray meet the different needs. I do pray for Brother Mike Moody and the suffering that he's gone through in the last little bit. Touch him and help him. I pray, dear Lord, for Brother Herford, that stick that hit him upside the head the other day when he was bush hogging and had that accident. Lord, I pray for healing in his body, his head, that situation. Have your way, Lord. I pray, dear God, now that you draw sinners. Lord, let the good seed go out and fall in some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest. I pray that in the midst of all this darkness of this world, Lord, you'd still build your church. You'd still save sinners, rescue some. And dear God, I pray, please send revival. Please send revival. Turn your people and help us, dear God, to persevere, to be what we ought to be for your glory and honor. Please, Lord, let us shine as lights in this dark world. And I pray you'd get the glory and the honor. And I ask it in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Where we're going to be looking in the Bible in Matthew chapter 4. And while you're finding your place, we'll listen to this song and hope it might be a blessing. Well, amen. I hope that song was a blessing to your heart after our prayer there about revival and thinking about the situations that we face and things that are going on. I thought it proper and appropriate to sing that song, Send the Rain, about the need of revival. And I recognize we don't need a lot more physical rain around here. We've had our share of physical rain the last little bit. But we sure need the spiritual rain. We need the early and the latter rain of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's definitely a need in this day in which we live. I'm looking now at Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 1. I've been preaching now for 3 weeks, just starting our third week, on the temptations of Christ in the wilderness. And I'm actually on the fifth main point that I'm wanting to look at this and call it the design of the temptations. Look with me again, Matthew chapter 1, chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I'm talking about these temptations, why God allowed our Lord Jesus to face these temptations. Now, we've already seen in our previous studies why God permits his children to go through these troubles and trials and temptations. It is often to reveal to us our own weaknesses, and then it's always to strengthen us in the end. But we ask the question, why would God allow Christ to be so tried? Because, you see, he had no sin, he had no weaknesses, and he did not need strengthening. Amen. Again, right at the onset, I want to say strongly that I protest against that degrading doctrine that is held by some that irreverently declares that our Lord Jesus was placed into this fire of temptation that he might overcome the sins which he bore in his flesh and in his members. Oh, no. You see, our perfect, sinless, spotless Savior had no sins, had no defects. He was perfect in every way. Amen. And I gave you scriptures talking about that earlier. And I say, thanks be unto God that his word does not leave us in doubt as to this most important matter. Our Lord Jesus was perfect. If there were any spot or stain upon the white linen of our Lord's righteousness, then any stain in his thoughts, actions, emotions, desires, anything that could be proved wrong with him, then I said the other day, we might as well burn our churches down. We might as well burn the Bibles. We might as well throw away our confidence and our faith. We might as well allow sin and despair to overrun and prevail against us, because then would our Lord Jesus be disqualified to be our Savior. The price that he paid on Calvary for our sins would be inadequate. But I'm glad to testify to you that his price that he paid satisfied the law's demand, because he was and is a perfect Savior. Amen. So thinking about why that God might would have allowed his son to be faced with these temptations, the first point that I mentioned was that these temptations which befell upon our Lord were very different from those which come in our experience, because he encountered them not for himself, but for us. He encountered them for our stead and as our substitute. Hebrews chapter number 2, verses 16 through 18 says this, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." That word succor means he's able to give strength. He's able to give help and aid to those who are tempted. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16 says it this way, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. You see, here on this battlefield of the temptation in the wilderness, Jesus faced troubles and he faced trials that would equal or extend even above those trials that you or I would ever face. Amen. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, we saw Adam tempted by the serpent, but he willingly permitted himself to be carried away by sin. But the second Adam, to atone for this, sustained a more painful assault and powerfully overcame the adversary and yielded himself to the Father in perfect obedience. You think about how sin appalls us, how that sin, when it is offered us, sometimes just disgusts us. But I want to tell you, our appallment at sin would not manage to equal in any way how that sin appalled our Lord Jesus, how it disgusted him. You see, our Lord Jesus is a thrice holy God, and yet he submitted himself to be tempted by the wicked one. He came into the presence and under the power of the evil one to tempt him. But amid these terrors and tempters, Christ was necessitated to alone struggle and battle to do the will of Father, that with the perfect obedience he might cover the disobedience of Adam and his fallen seed. It was the will of our Father that his Son descend into this lonely battlefield and face the dragon alone before he ever preached his first message of deliverance and grace to mankind. Christ had to prove himself victor over Satan, over sin, and over the flesh before he could offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. This is some of the battle that we see in this wilderness temptation experience. Secondly, not only Jesus faced these for us and in our place, but he faced these that he might be becoming high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Those scriptures I read you out of Hebrews chapter 2 and 4 tell us that he was touched. He knows what we're going through. Amen. Truly, he could have been this without ever having experienced these assaults which he endured wandered in the wilderness. But now that he has made such a display of his love, we children of men can more easily believe on him and believe in his sympathy. Amen. And believe in the fact that he loves us and cares for us, and we can carry our distresses to him. Amen. Amen. You see, here on this battlefield, in the temptation of the wilderness, Jesus faced troubles, as I said, that equal or extend even above the darkest night that our soul might ever be subjected to. The most fearful depths of internal suffering and distresses that we could ever face have already been faced and overcome by our Lord Jesus. We can never sit under a juniper tree beneath which he has not already sat. No thorn can ever wound you or I, which has not already made his heart to bleed. No fiery dart of the devil can ever strike us that has not first been hurled at the sacred head of our Savior. Amen. Why would we ever doubt his love? Why would we ever doubt his compassion? Wherever you or I find ourselves, whenever we find ourselves in this fiery furnace of trials, we can expect to find evidence of our Savior there. Amen. He has walked this way before us. Amen. He will not leave us comfortless. But when we face the battle with the wicked one, thank God we can find our Savior leading in the fight. Amen. Whenever we find ourselves in trouble, thank God we can believe and trust that our Lord Jesus has already faced such temptation and has come forth victorious. Amen. He told his children, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. I'm glad that we can overcome because Jesus has overcome. Amen. Amen. When we see these things, then the great design of our Father in heaven is mercy, in that he allowed his Son to be tempted so that you and I could believe on his mercy, so that you and I could lean on his mercy, so that you and I could trust in his grace and trust in his love. Our Father in heaven subjected his Son to these troubles that you and I could have peace, that you and I could have grace, and we could bring our troubles to him. We could come boldly to the throne of grace, that there we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's why God allowed his Son to be tempted. Praise God. Amen. Tune in this same time tomorrow, and we'll look at another reason why God allowed his Son to be tempted.